Good morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Excellent.
So, devotion. Hopelessly devoted. That's what I am. Hopelessly devoted. And this is one of the most important things that we can ever do or be, is devoted, hopelessly devoted. It's almost like no matter whatever goes on, I'm hopelessly devoted. That's what Job got to. That's the place that Job got to. He was a devoted man, but he wasn't just devoted. He was hopelessly devoted. There was nothing that would ever shake his devotion. And Satan thought that he could, but he tested him and found that he couldn't. He was hopelessly devoted. So, we're going to talk about devotion this morning. Firstly, apologies, I'm not wearing my poppy. I took it off to put my jumper on, and I forgot to put it back on. Still. When we talk about devotion, I say it's the most important thing. We have a look on the face of Christ as one of the things we encourage each other to do. There's only three things we ask each other to do, and I hope you challenge each other all the time about these three things. Look on the face of Christ, love everyone we meet, and live like heaven is near. You see, you can't really love everyone you meet unless you are hopelessly devoted to Christ, unless you've seen something in him which pulls you out of darkness, which pulls you higher than you would otherwise be, and inspires you to live a better life. You can't really live like heaven is near unless you've looked at Jesus and seen a man do it and think, wow, and heard God say, you will do even greater things. You see, he is our source, he's our inspiration, and he's our destination. Everything we are and be is designed to flow from our relationship with him. And for me, you're going to do slides for me, are you, Andy? Thanks. Can we have the first one? There you go. For me, my devotion really revolves around three things primarily, and we'll unpack them a little bit as we go through the morning. The first one is the Bible. Scripture. When I first got saved, it was in Slough. I was working just down the road from here at Concurrent Computer Corporation, or Perkinelma Data Systems, it used to be. And I used to take my Bible into work and read it under the desk. Get up early in the morning and read it before going to work. Stay up late at night and read it before going to bed. And you know when you drink a glass of cold water or a squash on a hot summer's day and you've been exercising or playing football or doing something and you're completely dehydrated and you're exhausted and you're sweaty and you drink this cold drink and you can feel it go down into right inside. You feel the cold go down. You almost feel it start to spread out around your body. It's an amazing feeling. But it's quenching a deep thirst. And for me, that's what reading the Bible was like when I got saved. And I know everybody doesn't get those kind of things, but that for me is what it was. And so I quickly learned that I needed this thing called Scripture. Boy, I didn't understand it all. I have a friend in Marlow who says, he quotes some bishop or something who says, it's not the things that I don't understand that worry me about Scripture, it's the things I do. But I used to read it, and God would speak to me. Crazy. Sometimes it was lovely and made me cry because of the love that he showed me. Sometimes it was discipline. Just like, the father disciplines those he loves, but he would always do it in a way which left me feeling good about myself, not bad about myself. And but he would speak to me. Sometimes he would give me words for myself, and sometimes he would give me words of encouragement for other people. And now I can say that. At the time, it wasn't easy for me to recognize it as such. I had feelings that come and went when I read scripture. But over the years, you just through practice, you learn to discern the voice of God in it. So what starts off as an impression, a thought that you have whilst reading scripture, and you say, I wonder if I should say that to this person. You do it and you realize it's just what they needed to hear. Then a year down the line, you say, yeah, God spoke to me about that person and told me to go and speak to them. And you just grow in boldness as you practice acting on the things that you've heard. You know, when I got saved, it wasn't because I knew that God existed. It was just because I just said, God, if you're there. You know, I love that about God. He's not expecting us to be perfect. He's not expecting us to have got it all sussed and to know what we're doing. He just wants us to be honest. And I'll come back to that. And just to try and do what we think that he's saying. And so the Bible is really important to me. You know, and I started reading it. And I must say, after a few years, I got a bit religious about it. I got proud about it. Because I read my Bible every day, at least once, often two or three times. And, you know, hey, I'm doing quite well, actually. You know, I'm learning a lot of scripture. I kind of lost the reason. You know, Jesus rebuked some of the teachers of the law, some of the religious people of his day, because they forgot the reason that for scriptures. They studied them. They'd studied them all. They'd spent more time studying than anybody else. They knew them better than anybody else. But he rebuked them. He said, you don't understand what they're there for. They're there to bring you to me. And the main reason I love the Bible is not because it's full of great truth that I can live my life by and lots of laws that I can tell other people what to do, and you know, but actually it reveals to me God, who he is, what he's like, and his plans and purposes for the world. That overwhelms me. Now, as I say, I didn't understand it when I first started to read it, but I understood little bits of it, which encouraged me. In fact, I must have told you a story. After a few months of being a Christian, I read all the New Testament, and I was then reading Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and I thought, that was great. I really loved that. And I got through Isaiah and really loved that. Because, you know, then I got to Jeremiah. And boy, was I struggling. You know, those of you who have babies or have had babies, you know, imagine giving a fillet steak to your newborn. It was a bit like that, really. And I wasn't getting anything from it, but I didn't realize that was a problem. I was just plowing through, and then I was getting depressed, and I said to my pastor, I don't understand. Am I saved? I've lost my joy. Has God left me? And he said, Colin, he's very wise, actually, this man. I don't know how he discerned this. He said, what are you reading? And I said, Jeremiah. He said, stop it. So in my quiet times, I went back to reading the New Testament like he told me to, and my joy returned. I tell you what, guys, if you're struggling with your quiet times and you're reading a book because you think you've got to finish it, or you're going through a Bible reading program and you think you've got to finish it, stop. If you're not enjoying it, stop. It's not for you right now. Read something that's going to speak to you, something that's going to bless you. Read a bit that you might enjoy. Now, okay. If you just spend all your time reading your favourite bits, okay, they're going to get, like, I'm a camper, they're going to get, like, very muddy. You're going to ruin them. See, the Bible is a story from beginning to end. You've got to understand the whole thing. And for me, I love the fact that it is a story from beginning to end. And as I've gone on, the more God's revealed it himself to me through the story. And I love Jeremiah. Crazy as that may seem. You know, but I now love the whole thing. And now I'm getting stuff out of every aspect of the Bible. But it's taken years to get there. And, you know, years and years and years of reading and reading and reading. I read the whole lot. I've read it so many times. There's nothing in Scripture you can surprise me with the actual text. And if someone says to me, doesn't the Bible say that? I can pretty confidently say yes or no. Because, you know, you get to know it. That's what keeps me joyful. Because when you know the big story, okay, the blips that happen, whether they're a Trump-shaped blip, if you like Trump, that's fine, of course, but if you don't, it could be a blip. If it's a Brexit-shaped blip, some of us wanted Brexit, some of us didn't, you know. But if we understand the big story, actually, those blips don't worry us. We could have a blip in our own lives. We might lose a job. A friend might get antsy with us. You know, that's a blip. We might have struggling with a sickness. That's a blip. But it's not the story. The story is the big story that we're a part of. And the truth is that of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Isaiah 9, verse 7. That's the truth. That's part of the story. You know, God does this to himself. So we've got to do it. Have you ever noticed, whenever God gets a setback in his plans, a big setback, you know, like the people refusing to go into the promised land, he declares something. He said, do you know what? This earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. In other words, he's saying, my plans will succeed, even though you're frustrating them right now. So if God has to remind himself of the big plan, in fact, where he's going, and that it's all going to be okay, we need to get that into ourselves. So scripture is really vitally important. Vitally important. Yes, for the little things he says to us about our lives and about and the words that jump out that living to us, but to keep us sane. Because when you live in a good story, you feel good. You know, you can read Lord of the Rings. You get to the bit where Gandalf dies. If you don't know the story, you're devastated. As a young boy, I read that and I thought, ah! I want to stop reading this book now. But when I know the story, I get to that bit and I'm thinking, God, fantastic. What a great twist in the plot that is. You know, but it's because when you know the story, you know it's going to end happily ever after. You're going to end in tears of joy as they sail off into the westernness. You know, but we've got to be like that with real life. And to know that story and to live in it. Because the truth is, you are destined for glory. Wherever you are struggling with right now, whatever burdens you are carrying right now, the truth is, Jesus says, I'm going to make you just like me. And we're going to hang out forever and ever and ever. That is fantastic. Okay. A little bit. The Bible is really, really important. We've got to read it all. We've got to know it. It speaks to us. Next one, please. Andy. There you go. Worship. Worship is a key part of my devotion. When I first got saved, I used to play just worship tracks after I read the Bible or before. And when I was on my own in the house, just play them up full volume and used to just twirl around in the living room. You know, I had no idea. Yeah, that's just crazy. But I thought, if people could see me now, that's just stupid. But, you know, see, worship is about thinking about the goodness of God. Worship is about actually meditating on his wonder, his goodness. See, God is better than we can imagine. His love, it says, it surpasses knowledge. So no matter how much you think you know the love of God, no matter how much you might feel it today, the truth is that God's love for you is even higher, even bigger than that. We should get overwhelmed by it. And I like to get overwhelmed by the love of God. And in worship, when we think about that, and we think about how gracious he is, how kind he is, how loving he is, how powerful he is, and how much he is for us, not against us, and what he's doing, wow! Come on, just sing. Could go all morning, all evening, singing about the goodness of God and dancing, moving my body. I have to move my body. I can't stand still in worship. I have to do something just to express what's going on inside of me. You know, This devotion. It's not like some little bit of information I'm plugging away somewhere. Oh, God's good. I just store that one away. You know, it's knowing it's good. You know, when I know that Florence is good, and I do, I love this lady. When I know she's good, you know, she comes into the room, my heart skips a beat. I think, great, Florence is here. Woo! You know, that is the kind of thing, you know, with God. It's not an intellectual thing. It's just an emotional thing. But we stir that up by thinking about him and thinking about all the good things that he is and does. That's why worship is so key. to devotion. It's not that God needs us to worship him or wants us to worship him, but we find freedom. We absolutely find complete freedom when we lose ourselves and our own struggles and our own battles and our own pains and actually choose to think about the glory of God. It helps our minds. It really does. You know, you can't get out of this. You know, part of my devotion, I said this yesterday, I think, in the leaders, part of my devotion is thankfulness. I choose to be thankful. God taught me a big lesson about this, and I've told you this before, so please forgive me. You know, you've heard, you know me, so what can I say? You know, my father and my mother were going through a difficult time. My dad left my mum, and that was really tough for me, and I got angry with God. I railed, and my father started going to church, but I got angrier with God. I said, God, that's just wrong. You could have just spoken to him 2 months ago before he left my mum. Now my daughter's not going to have a grandmother and grandfather. You're living, you know, what are you doing? See, a bit of honesty, you know, that's all right. I went on holiday up to Scotland, and on the Isle of one of the Shetland Isles, and the wind was bitter, it was freezing cold, I was wrapped up in several layers, and then we hopped over a wall, and there was no wind. Took all the layers off and laid in a t-shirt in the sunshine at Sunbow Point. And God says to me, Colin, you know what, you can be in the same place, and you can be fighting, and you can be tense, and you can be irritable, and you can be downcast, and have no energy, or you can be resting, joy-filled. And it just totally depends upon what you're thinking about. What you're allowing to fill your mind. And he said, what you've done, Colin, here is you've allowed all the pain that you're experiencing around the separation of your parents, which is right to be painful, you're allowing that to rob you of the joy of life. And you're not recognizing the good things that I am doing in your parents' lives. I actually felt so convicted by that, I stood up in front of the whole church on Sunday and just said, yeah, I just need to apologize. You know, I've been angry with God, and I'd lost my peace, and God's rebuked me about that and said I should be focusing on what he's doing. I want to thank God for what he's doing in my father's life. 2 weeks later, my dad gives me a ring and says, I'm moving back in with your mum. Anyway, I just say that. Thankfulness is part of worship. It's brilliant. Next one, please. Mountains. I find mountains inspirational, and as part of my devotion, sometimes I have to get away to inspirational places. Sometimes if I need to hear God, sometimes just doing my normal routine is not good enough. Sometimes I have to break out of my normal routine and go somewhere inspirational. Some of you might need to do that now with the things that you're facing. You might actually say, do you know what, I'm going to go away for a couple of days somewhere where I will be really know that I'm going to be inspired by the goodness of God. A place that I know that I will connect with my God. I'm just going to go and be there for a day or two and allow God to speak to me. You know, that picture's from a couple of weeks ago. I went up into the mountains and I got to chat to that guy there and witness to him and his friend tell stories about how Jesus came into my life, what he's done for me. So I got to preach the gospel and to walk in the hills. My two favorite activities. But I always find my soul gets lifted whenever I see the mountains. I don't even have to go walking just to see them. My spirit is lifted. But when I get in them, God takes me to new perspectives. Not just physical perspectives, but heavenly perspectives. Okay, that's some of the things that help me. But really, this devotion thing is about practicing the presence of God. You know, when I first gave my life to Jesus, God was with me 24/7. And that's a choice thing, actually. Because if God is real, he's here right now. That means you can have a word with him right now. You can whisper and say, this preacher's not too good today, is he, Jesus? Or you can, you know, whatever. You can just have a chat. You know, we've got to learn to chat with Jesus, to chit-chat with Jesus. That's what Paul meant when he said, pray continually. I used to get really convicted. Anyone else get convicted by that? Yeah. pray continue, pray without ceasing. I had visions of people on their knees 24/7 crying out to God for the kingdom to come, whatever. I thought, I can't do it, Lord. I can't even do that for 5 minutes. How can I? Because that's just not me. I can't get on my knees for hour after hour and pray in my devotion. What I do is I chit-chat with God all the time. So if something good happens, I say, thank you, Jesus. That's amazing. I wake up in the morning and I say, good morning. Good morning, Lord. Sometimes he'll speak to me, sometimes he won't. Or he probably is, but I'm not listening very well. But if we develop that level of just chit-chat through the day, you find that he is with you the whole time. And when he's with you the whole time, there's nothing that's impossible. So this devotion thing is key to living a life of reigning, not a life of joy, not a life. So it's an adventure when you're living with the one who can do impossible things. Next slide, please. Okay. Now, guys, see that. Partly, when Ian told me to speak on this subject, I'm a man under authority, I thought, they already know this. What can I possibly tell them that's new? You know, the truth is, you already know everything I'm telling you today. I'm telling you absolutely nothing new. Well, maybe one or two little bits. But what is key is, it's not knowing how to do it. It's just doing it. You see, I love tea. Any tea lovers here? There's a few. Fantastic. We must fellowship. You see, and we all know how to make a good cup of tea, don't we? How do we do that? Number one, freshly drawn water. There's nothing worse than someone reboiling a kettle. It comes out grey. It tastes horrible. All the oxygen's been boiled out. There's no life in that water. Chip it away. Reboil it, for goodness sake. Don't give me a grey cup of tea. It's got to be made in a pot. It's got to be brewed properly. You can't brew tea in a mug. So we get the pot out, and the pot, if it's a China one, it doesn't matter. If it's metal, it doesn't matter so much. If it's China, it's got to be warmed. Pour a bit in. Warm it. Because tea has to be brewed with boiling water. Otherwise, the flavours don't really get in there. Then you pour loose leaf tea. Let me tell you, loose leaf tea is absolutely, the flavours are mellow. Anyway, some of you might disagree. Let's not fall out. Let's not lose fellowship over a minute detail. Tea bags were an invention of the devil just to save a bit of time. Anyway, loose leaf tea, lovely fresh boiling water. Leave it with a tea cozy. You've got to keep as hot as possible while it's brewing. Tea cozy on it, please. Otherwise, it's going to come to me cold. Let it brew. And then, once it's brewed, you could be a milk in first or a milk after. That's a matter of personal conviction. unlike the rest of it, absolutely. The rest of it is core doctrine. And then you just pour it. And it's sweet and mellow and it's the elixir. You know, it's just wonderful. But we all know how to make a good cup of tea. The thing is, a lot of people just don't bother. Oh, slap a tea bag in a mug, pour a bit of reboiled water on it, stir it around, mash it with a spoon, sling it in the bin, pour a bit of milk in. Yuck. We do that with our Christian lives. We wonder why it doesn't taste as good as it could. We just don't do the stuff we know we should do. It's not rocket science, guys. This stuff is really straightforward. We can all do it. And when we do, I tell you, the bubble the bubbling. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. Because the joy of the Lord will fill us when we spend time with the joyful one, with our Father. Despite the things that we face. Okay. That's why I despair at one level. You know, I just need to remind you, make a good cup of tea. But more importantly, actually, do the stuff you know you should do, is your devotional times with Jesus. They're not optional extras, guys. This is not a nice little add-on to your church life. You know, this morning we've been feasting. You know, Sabina's done a great job of leading us in the presence of God. We have some worship. You know, and so we've been doing the right kind of things. We've been meditating on the goodness of God, and we've been feeding our souls, and it's been good. But if you only eat once a week, you'll be weak no matter how good the Sunday morning's feast is. You know, Jesus said that a man doesn't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We have to feed ourselves regularly. You know, some Christians, you know, they're so, Actually, you know, if we are feeding ourselves regularly on the goodness of God, don't get me wrong, you know, I'm a compassionate man. When we go through painful stuff, there's pain. But that should be for a season, not ongoing. You know, we reign in life through Christ Jesus. All the stuff that Paul went through, he said, I reign in life through Christ Jesus. Reign in life through Christ Jesus. And it starts by doing a little bit of time. Next slide, please. Next point. Time. Just a little bit of time. That's what it takes. I'm going to finish shortly. Because we're running out of time. Well, a little bit of time, guys. You know, it doesn't have to be hours, but we must make some time. It's like any friendship, you see. You know, I might want to be friends with Eloise or Andy, and but if I don't make any time for them, we will never be friends. Full stop. And that's a choice. You know, that's fine. I don't have to be friends with them. Yeah, well, exactly, you miss out. But you know, with our Maker, it's a friendship thing. If we don't set time for him, that friendship's going to be cool. Not on his part, but on our part. Because we're not listening to him. We're not understanding his heart for us or for those around us. You know, and you know, please don't hear me, because you might think, oh, Colin, you're trying to lay a heavy burden on us. This is about works. It's not about works. God is gracious. He'll always treat us better than we deserve. Always. But why limit the grace that he can give us? And that's what we do. We just limit the blessing. We limit the grace. He's gonna do it, but why limit it? Live in abundance. And it starts by setting aside a bit of time. Even 5 minutes is better than nothing. But if you do 5 minutes, then why not do 10? Honestly, I can't get by with less than half an hour. I just can't do it. I like more, actually. But I can't get by with, I feel robbed in the mornings these days. But it started just me grabbing time whenever I could, a little bit of time. Just a bit of time to read the Bible or to pray or to worship, to spend with my dad. Get to know him a bit. Hear what's on his heart. Tell him what's on my heart, more to the point as well. Yeah, there's not a shortcut to that. Time is really, really key. Next, please. Find a comfortable place. A place you like being. You're more likely to do it. For me, I get up. My time is first thing in the morning. I might do it other times as well, but my main time is first thing in the morning. I like that. Before the house is stirring, it's quiet. No one's going to interrupt me. Hordes of kids in the house, you know. We had 6 kids in the house for a while recently. And, yeah. And, you know, but to get up, if I get up early enough, it's got to get up early enough, then get that time. That time is really key, precious time. Find a comfortable place. For me, It's my nice, comfortable armchair with a cup of tea. God's drink. Cup of tea and my Bible. And I just, you could say I'm religious about that. I do it religiously. Yeah, I do. And some days I do it and I just put my Bible down and just say a few quick prayers and that's it. And it doesn't, I don't feel anything. Haven't heard any amazing revelations. Other times, I get swept away, carried away. I feel God's speaking to me. You know, but I know I've got to do it. So whatever it is for you, you know, it doesn't have to be indoors. It can be out. You can go for a walk. Walk the dog. Walk in the park. It can be on your commute, in your car, or on the train even. We can enjoy the presence of God anywhere. It's harder when you're doing something else because you've got to think about, if you're a woman, it's easy, but if you're a guy, it's nearly impossible. but you can do it. You know, I've done that with train journeys, and I've done that in my car too, playing worship tapes and just singing along. You know, one of the most profound times I had was to sing along to a worship tape in a car, and I got the line of the song, God, you know, looked at me with his forgiving eyes, and I started to weep as I received the forgiveness of God, which I needed. Yeah, we can find a way, guys. Don't make any excuse saying you're too busy. No one's too busy. God. Find some time. Find a good place, whatever it might be, in the bath even. Next, please. Let's chit-chat. Let's talk. Don't just leave it as some reading someone else's thoughts. But let's talk. Let's just say what we're feeling. Call it prayer if you like. But, you know, prayer is just a religious word for talking. Have a talk. Have a chat with Jesus. Tell him what you're feeling. Tell him what you're hoping for. You know, tell him about those you care for. What's going on in their lives. Just chit-chat. And let him speak to you about what's on his heart. You know, and that won't be a big booming voice. Well, it might be if you're lucky. Or if you're unlucky, actually. The only time in the Bible you get the big booming voices and the writing on the wall, you wouldn't want to be there. Normally, it's just a thought that comes to you. Why don't you give so-and-so a call? Hey, why don't you just take a bunch of bananas around so-and-so's house? Or why don't you drop a card in just to say that you love them? Or, you know, or whatever it might be, you know, someone might come to you. Just pray for them. You might not have seen them for years, but actually they've come to your mind. Oh, I'm going to say a prayer for them, believing that that prayer is going to do something effective in their life that day. Well, it could be anything, but allow the thoughts that go through our minds to be from God, because God loves to speak to us. Paul says we have the mind of Christ. You know, and the more we trust that God speaks to us, the more joy we will have in adventuring with him. But it is a case of faith and trust. It's because it's not clear always. If he's telling you to stay in the middle lane. Sometimes you think that's just a mad thought. I've eaten too much pizza or whatever. But if you trust it, you suddenly have a story. If you act on something you think that God said to you, you have a story. And those, over time, those stories build up to become powerful, man. My life now is just one long story with Jesus since the age of 24. It's like, whoa, story after story after story. My life makes no sense outside of Christ now. My story is so entwined with his that I can understand what Paul says when he says, I no longer live, but Christ lives through me. I feel the same way. My story is so bound up with his. Because I've done those things day after day after day after day. Come rain or shine. Through thick and thin. Like a marriage. You know, if you only just live with your partner when you're feeling good. Or when they were being kind to you. You know, that marriage would be a bit shaky. You know, it's commitment, isn't it? We don't talk about commitment much and discipline. But devotion is partly commitment and discipline. For me. It might not be for you, but for me it is. So chit-chat. Thank you. Sometimes we need to do something to help us. It's okay to play a CD, or that's old-fashioned, you know, just to stream some worship into your house, or play something on the God channel or something. It's fine to do that. What I would say, if you're going to do that, you know, at some point, it's good just to switch it off and be quiet. It's generally easier to hear God when no one else is trying to speak to you. Sometimes he will use what they say to speak to you, hopefully this morning. You know, but a lot of the time we need a bit of space, quiet. But whatever works for you, do it. If it's reading the Bible, do that. If it's prayer, do that. If it's worship, do that. If it's getting out and walking, do that. If it's listening to, you know, to someone read the Bible, do that. Whatever it is, do it. There's no rights or wrongs in this. It's a Dorothy-shaped devotion that God wants, not a Colin-shaped one. Just the friendship. Lastly, this is the most important one. Don't pretend. Don't pretend with God. There's no point. You know, we think we've got to be spiritual. The Bible says I've got to be joyful. I'm going to be joyful, Lord. The Bible says this. Oh, I've got to do this, Lord. I've got to be perfect. You know, God is gracious. He doesn't want us to live up he does want us to be perfect, but, you know, he doesn't want us to pretend to be someone we're not. He just wants to deal with us in reality. So if we're struggling, just to say. You know, if you read the Bible, okay, if you read the Bible, and you'll have read it all, I'm sure, many times, you'll be familiar with stories like Job. Job was commended by God for what? Well, he's commended for being blameless and upright, yes. But at the end of the book, he was commended because his words, he says, were good. Do you know what Job's words were? Curse the day I was born. Wish I'd never been born. Lord, why didn't you curse that day? I'm angry with you. Wish you could come down here right now and we'd have it out. I want you to come down now and we'll have a judge and we'll both give our cases and let him decide who's right and who's wrong. Because I'm not being treated fairly here. And his friends were getting really mad with him. Not surprisingly. They're saying, you're not more righteous than God. Who do you think you are? God treats everyone as they deserve. You're getting less than you deserve. God's being kind to you. Terrible friends in a way, but they were lovely friends, really. They were just trying to defend God. And God says to them, oh, you're in trouble. Never pretend. He said Job spoke what was right. It wasn't true, but it was right. It wasn't God who'd taken away, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. It wasn't God who took away, it was the devil who took away. And yet, God said, Job spoke what is right. Because he spoke what he saw, he spoke what he felt, he spoke what he knew. That's all God asks of us. No pretense, no pretending. Let's not pretend anything. Let's just be real with God. Some of us need to get angry with God about some of the stuff that we're facing. Well, really, not angry with God, because, you know. But get angry about it and tell God you're angry. Tell him you don't understand what's going on. And, you know, just lose it. It's okay with God if that's how you feel. Don't get angry, you know, because I've told you to get angry. But you understand what I'm talking about here. Some of us need to just be real with God. And God says, you know what? I'm glad you told me that. I've been waiting for that to come out. I knew it was there, elephant in the room and all that, in our friendship. And then he can move on. He then explains to Job, oh, how difficult it is to run the universe. Have you considered how difficult it is? Have you seen the behemoth? Have you seen Leviathan? Yeah, it's just crazy. They just don't do what you want. And it's just all the complexities of the universe. And Job says, okay, I'm going to shut up now. God will bring us to that point. And then we'll hear the voice of God, like, the still small voice. Like Elijah in the cave. Restoring us. Job had his fortunes restored at the end of the book. But it wasn't through pretending that he knew that everything was going to be all right. He did say that everything was going to be all right, but he was angry about it. I want to know what's going on and why it's happening to me. I know you're going to be with me through it. I know my hope is still in my Redeemer. He said at one point, but he's making me really mad. because he's treating me unfairly. God's okay with that. Habakkuk too, you know, God was okay with that. Habakkuk, when God is complaining about all the kind of stuff that he's looking at is going on in the church. Well, it wasn't the church; it was in the Jews amongst in the nation of Israel. He's just really fed up with all the injustice, and he's complaining to God about it. And God said, "Don't worry, I'm going to bring the Babylonians in. That'll sort them out." Okay. And he thought, "What? You cannot be serious!" And he got angry with God. How could you do that? They're more evil than we are. God had to tell him a few things. So God says, don't worry. I'm going to do something wonderful in your day. Your ears are a tingle. You know, people are going to run with this stuff. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah, it's going to be a bit painful. You're going to go into captivity and all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, the just will live by faith. At the end of the day, the glory of the Lord, there you go again, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I'm going to remind myself, as well as you, Habakkuk, that things are going to be okay. And at the end of the day, you need to know that I'm still on my throne in heaven. I haven't lost it. I'm still ultimately in control. But actually, things have got out of hand down here. And I'm doing what I can to bring that back. But it's going to be messy for a while. Yeah. Bit of reality, guys. Just a bit of reality. We need to be honest with God for what we're facing. And he'll bring us to that place of Habakkuk. Whatever then, Lord. Okay. I have faith. I know that you're with me through this and you're going to steer me through it. Same as Job. And then Job prays for his friends and it says his fortunes were restored. So anyway, look, a few things that we can do in our devotion. But through it all, the thing is, we get to know God and that God is faithful. It's good to be hopelessly devoted to a faithful one. It's not all clean, plain sailing. There are real pains, real obstacles, real things to overcome. He's made that very clear. In this life, you will have trouble, he said. But take heart, I am with you. So we can be devoted to the one who will be with us through the troubles. And he will see us through them. Sometimes, miraculously, instantaneously. Sometimes it takes a bit longer. But anyway, I've run out of time. So the truth is, Lord Jesus, that we all know how to do this stuff. That's the truth. Nothing I've said is very ground-shaking or groundbreaking. You know, we know that actually it's about time. It's about setting aside some time to be with you, to read your word, to meditate on your goodness, to fill our hearts and minds with the wonders of your love. Yes, to complain and to talk to you about the stuff that we're facing and ask for help, because you're gentle God. You don't force your way in. You wait to be asked. And to ask for help, to hear your heart for us and for our families, for our loved ones, for our neighbors and colleagues and friends. And then to do the things that we think you've said to us. It really is straightforward, and yet we make a dog's dinner of it. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. And help us all, just so however good or bad our devotional times are today, help us all to go away from this place determined to turn them up a notch, determined just to spend a little bit more time with you, to read your word a little bit more, to meditate on your word a bit more, to worship a little bit more often, to talk with you as we go through our days. Not that we're going to earn anything from you. We've already got the gift of salvation. But actually, just so that we enjoy life a whole lot more. And pray for breakthrough, Lord Jesus. Pray for an outbreak of honesty amongst us at the things that are causing us pain. Honesty with you, honesty with one another. No pretense. You can handle honesty, Lord Jesus. Help us to get angry where we need to get angry. To cry out where we need to cry out. Not to be stoical. Not to be British with our stiff upper lips. But to let it all out with you. It's a safe place to let out our emotions. Because you're our Father, you care for us. So I pray for every precious heart in this place that you would comfort us by your Spirit. And that you would be gracious to us and really help us to find a space, a daily basis, to be with you.